96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Last Friday, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser revealed that D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Wilson violated his own policy and bypassed the school lottery process so his daughter could transfer to a high-performing high school. D.C.'s Deputy Mayor for Education resigned on Friday over that violation. The chancellor was apologizing, but some council members say it isn't enough and are calling for him to resign. Well, he's joining me to talk about this issue, and we invite you to talk to us as well. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Chancellor Wilson, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
What happened with this policy violation last year?
Well, I spent most of the year here as chancellor with my family back in California. My family moved partially in June, and my wife and oldest daughter moved here in July. During that time, my oldest daughter enrolled in one of our selective schools, and she was really excited about that. And we began to experience issues. She began to experience issues socially, emotionally at the school. We became very concerned about it. My wife and she were trying to work through the issues, and they continued. My daughter, the way they manifest for us at home, were not leaving her room and not eating regularly, and a lot of anxiety around going to school, and just wasn't adjusting well at all. I asked my supervisor, considering that the process all involved me, being involved in terms of moving a student, what my direction was. She directed me to have my wife work with her, and they would identify options and designate someone on my team to work with them and to stay out of it, which is what I did.
But you didn't stay out of it. You asked the deputy mayor of education. Most parents under those same circumstances would not have that option.
Yeah, they would get to ask me. And, you know, it certainly didn't seem fair to me to be making decisions about my own child in DCPS. And so I asked the deputy mayor what to do and for direction. And that is my supervisor. I thought I was making the right choice. Now, let me say this very strongly. I understand. Now, I learned on Monday that what I thought to be true was not true.
Meaning what?
That our family had been approved to pursue some options that were shared with us, one of which was the school she ended up transferring to. I learned that that was not true, and immediately said, we are going to pull our daughter out. I apologize for that mistake that I made. I thought I was doing the right thing. Upon learning that, understood very clearly I got it wrong and made a mistake. And when you make a mistake, you should apologize. You have to admit that mistake. But at the time, we were very much a family in crisis. And I certainly had tunnel vision as it related to work and asked for help and followed the direction I was given. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, the responsibilities of the district are mine as a chancellor. I understand that. But I certainly was struggling as a father and as a husband at home.
Let me be clear, because you're saying what you understood on Friday today was not true. I'm not sure I understand exactly what you mean. Are you telling me that you did not understand on Friday that the original request to have your daughter circumvent this policy was wrong?
What I would say is, no, I understood as soon as I heard it. I thought that I thought at the time, if you're asking me at the time, what did I think? What I thought was I needed help in figuring out how to transfer my daughter. from school. Now, me, I believe in all of our schools. I believe in the school she was at. I like the school. I understand there was a lot going on at the school, but it's a tremendous school. And I have a lot of families asking to get in the school. So it wasn't working for my daughter. And I needed help in terms of figuring out what to do in terms of transferring. I certainly knew that I should not be making decisions about my daughter as the chancellor. And so, you know, considering that I have to make decisions and get to make decisions around how we help other families, I certainly knew that that wasn't an option for me as, in terms of my daughter. And I just asked for how do I go about this? And what is my direction? And I received it. And I understand what I was sharing with you is I understand as soon as I learned that it wasn't what I thought and understood my folly, understood my mistake, and knew I needed to apologize for that mistake and being wrong and begin to do the work I need to do to make sure people know that it was definitely a mistake. It was an honest one. And when you make a mistake, whether you meant to or not, you should own it. And you should try to atone for it. And that's what I intend to do.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Wilson about a policy violation regarding the transfer of one of his children to another school last year. Let me go to the phone lines. Sharita calling from D.C. Sharita, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you, Howard?
I'm fine. Go right ahead.
I'm calling because a couple of things here. First off, we in D.C. have to put some sort of policy in place where folks, when we're reaching out to have folks relocate here, that they have some options to do when they miss the school lottery process. And then the other thing is, I think people need to understand that transfers happen throughout DCPS every single day. Parents are always requesting, and it does happen. So I don't believe that just because you're the chancellor that your child has to suffer in a school that's not working for them. And I believe that what we've all been told is that he did the right thing, and he asked his boss for permission. Okay, because as the chancellor, he could have transferred his daughter on his own and didn't have to ask nobody. But he did not do that. He requested, and then he had to wait for his request to be responded to, and he was granted permission. So at the same time, you're a parent first, and any parent is going to do what they have to do for their child to make sure that their child's educational future is secure and healthy.
Okay.
And that's what he did.
Sharita, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Alvin calling from D.C., Southeast D.C., what's on your mind?
Good evening, Mr. Fisher.
Hey, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you for having me. I first want to say that I just find it horrendous and petty for council members to be calling for the chancellor's resignation. I've been in this city since the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say that this city is built, was built, and by people who were given second chances.
Okay.
The chancellor has admitted that he made a minor mistake, okay? The chancellor has the school system on the right trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
And he's truly a positive role model.
So you think, Alvin, he should stay?
With no question about it. He is a positive role model for the young African-American men that's in our school system, that live in this city, that's trying to make it in life and be positive.
Okay.
He needs to stay. We appreciate what he's doing. He has the school on the right trajectory.
Okay. Alvin, thank you so much for your phone call. Jennifer Niles was pushed out on Friday. Let's just call a spade a spade. She submitted her resignation, whether she was asked or what have you. Do you think that it was right for her to resign, to lose her job over this, particularly since in the same kind of situation you want to stay?
Well, Howard.
Harold, but that's right. You're Ed Howard. That's what people do it all the time. Go right ahead.
Misspoke here, but my focus is on what I need to do as the leader of the system in admitting what was going on with me and why I ended up here. Mm-hmm. I certainly was trying not to end up here in September. And, you know, when you make a mistake, you have to step forward, Harold, and say you did it. And you were wrong, whether you meant to or not. And you have to apologize and atone for that mistake. And I think being in spaces with people, being accountable and answering questions and trying to be as transparent as possible in terms of the challenges that we were facing personally, but also the process professionally, and my commitment to this city, my commitment to these students, my commitment to the vision that we have, to the collaboration we've established with the teachers union, and making sure that we are moving the city towards a place where students will expect that regardless of where they go to school, that they are going to be successful. That's where my focus is. And, you know, I am just torn up that anything that I did trying to make sure that my daughter adjusted to the city and my family enjoyed the city as much as I was enjoying it, mm-hmm. that would take any attention away from this important work that that we need to do for our students.
But let's say, you know, this issue has come less than a month after the results of that damning report about the graduation situation at Ballou and system-wide. Do you see the optics and how difficult they look? Some would argue maybe you inherited this, but you are now the chancellor.
Well, what I would say as it relates to the work there is that sorry, I have a cough. I'm trying to prevent that cough from coming up. What I would say in terms of the work there is that that would strengthen the idea that I should be here. We need to make sure that someone who has experience making sure that there's integrity in the high school system, someone has experience making sure that students graduate college and career ready, someone who has experience helping students graduate with credentials, helping students graduate with college credit, and then transition on to the world of work, that having that individual such as myself, that's what I've been doing for the better part of 13 years centrally, that we are moving forward with our plan to get that work done. I definitely understand, though, that when you have something as significant as that issue mm-hmm. and then this issue, that it definitely rocks people's faith and confidence. But what I can say wholeheartedly is this. I learned about the graduation issue and began to address the concern, the challenges. We're taking steps to increase transparency. We'll be releasing attendance data in our schools this week and sharing that with the community. We'll be making that available on an ongoing basis throughout so people can begin to see the numbers and the challenges we have. We will be releasing, in addition to that, within the next 2 weeks, information on our current 2018 seniors and their progress and making sure that the public can track it. Why? Because it is important that people see the effort that we have as a district to increase transparency, to make sure that the district is operating as a district that is accountable to the people, which is something that I have said since I've been here and believe.
With all due respect, and I appreciate, you know, the information that you just shared, because certainly that is something that we will follow. But you know, with this said, why should parents trust the chancellor now when, your fault or not, this situation regarding the graduation system has come up? And now there's this. And earlier this month, you sat before a council committee and said, no, I did not tell anyone to change grades or allow anyone to graduate. Again, the optics of this are very, very difficult to look at. Why should they trust you?
Well, let's be clear, Harold. I did not tell anyone to change grades. And say that very strongly, mm-hmm. that because that's a fact. And I have staked my career on making sure that young people get the education they deserve so they're ready to go when they leave. And that is important to me. That's important to me as a parent. That is important to me as a leader. That's important to me as an educator. So I want to say that strongly. In terms of the parents, you know, I know that it takes real work to be in communities, which is what I've done since I've been here. I know it takes real work to answer questions, and when you make mistakes, to own it. And to, when the system has issues, to own those issues. And I believe that in being space with those parents, being in those community meetings, having those living room chats, making sure that we continue to do faculty meetings. I mean, I've been doing faculty meetings, meeting directly with teachers and answering any question they ask me, community meetings that I hold and answering any question that they ask me. And then when there are issues, following up and making sure my team gets back to people and addresses their issues. That's the work that I am committed to doing, so that this system is reflecting all the values that the community of D.C. expects from its school district.
Yes or no, before the break, are you going to step down or are you going to stay?
My focus is on doing the work going forward.
Need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Yolanda calling from Virginia, Jason in D.C., Kenny calling from Northeast D.C. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking to D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Wilson about a violation of school policy related to the placement of one of his children in a D.C. public school. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go back to the phone lines. Kenny, calling from Northeast D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Let me just say this. Mr. Wilson, you said earlier your vote of confidence in me as a father of a graduating senior this year, I commend you and I support you. I echo the call from, I echo the statement of the two callers before, especially the first caller. This issue is so minute to the point, whereas I cannot believe this is even up for discussion as making it a big of a deal as it is, because it has been, if I can use a word that has never been said before, if it has been for never since D.C. has been in a situation whereas our public school system has been in the forefront in this area, and we are on the track of becoming that and doing that. Give him the opportunity to do the work that he's here to do. Leave him alone. As a father, again, I support you.
Okay, Kenny, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jason, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Jason. What's on your mind? Jason, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Let me go to Yolanda, calling from Virginia. Yolanda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling. When did they change the lotto? Because I thought as long as you live in D.C., your kids could go to any schools in the D.C. area.
You're asking when did they change? What's your question? I didn't get that.
Yeah, when did they change back to the lottery? Because I thought once you was a D.C. resident, your kids could go out of boundary to any D.C. school.
Did you understand it? She wanted to know when it was changed to the lottery. And
so, you know, being new to the district, I mean, been here a year, I'm not sure when the lottery came about. I can say that we do have families, as a caller mentioned, switching schools and students traveling. Most of our families stay with their school. But we do have movement happening. As it relates to me, I certainly felt then and believe now that I should not be making decisions about my children as the chancellor or putting anyone in a position within my district that reports to me, which is everyone in the school district, in a position where they felt like they needed to do something just because it was my child. Asking for direction what I was supposed to do was what I thought was best. I understand now that, you know, asking as many people as possible and getting as much input as possible so that we are being extremely careful on all things related to the chancellor's children is important. I'm a public school advocate. I've always had my children in district schools. And it was important to me, and it remains important to me, that that is an opportunity for my students. As I, although I mentioned to you, Harold, on the previous calls that I went to a lot of schools, they were always public schools.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your phone call. Why did the mayor release this information on Friday? How did she find out about this? The actual release on Twitter was, some would argue, a rather unusual thing. Did you tell her? How did this come about?
Well, I can't speak for the mayor. What I can say is that I learned on Monday that there was a question around my children and how they got into the schools they got into. And then I learned later that day that what I thought to be the case in terms of permission granted for my daughter to choose between a group of schools that were shared with my wife, that had not been approved as I thought. And so immediately said that I would unenroll my daughter. And my wife agreed as it relates to that as well, felt strongly, because we never intended to do anything other than what was directed. Now, that being said, I began to ask questions, learned that there were issues, immediately said we need to apologize. The mayor certainly expected that as well, and I am here now.
Mm-hmm. You also know, you've been here a year, but you also know that two high-ranking D.C. government officials essentially did the same thing. They circumvented the process, and however, the details of that process, as you were trying to lay them out here in this conversation, right now we've got three high-ranking D.C. officials that have circumvented a process that many, many parents have for quite some time lamented. What do you say to parents when it's not just about you, but two others?
Well, I definitely think that it's important that families have the ability to identify concerns. And I think it's important that families, when their school isn't working, that we're able to help them find a school that works for them, that works that for also for the district. What I will say is this, that I have children in the district, and it's not been an easy transition for any of my children to come all the way across country and assimilate. It's been difficult. But we didn't move our twins. We have worked through it and so on and so forth. It was a unique circumstance with one child that we were really struggling with. I mean, you know, what do you do when you see your daughter, who has a tremendous personality, who is normally very excited about school, who does well academically, has always done well academically, but begins to stop eating regularly, begins to hole up in her room and not come out, and begin to express real anxiety around going to school? It was perplexing. It was scary. And for a father who was just becoming reassimilating with his daughter after several months apart, it was hard. The hardest thing I've ever gone through. And so what I can say is that there certainly was a tunnel vision in terms of making sure that we were addressing the concerns there. And I certainly had tunnel vision as a chancellor in terms of making sure we were rolling out a strategic plan, keeping my focus there, and following the instructions that I received.
But my question wasn't, and let me say, I sympathize with you as a father. I've been one for 19 years, and I have a daughter, only one. Mm-hmm. But as the chancellor, already knowing that this has happened before, mm-hmm. and now the person in charge of the school system has done it, when those, you know, hardworking parents struggling every day says, well, okay, it happened once. Okay, now it happened twice. Now it's happened three times. The system isn't fair. How do you convince them that it is or will be?
Well, I will say that, I was trying not to be here and understand that I am here. And that's the whole point of apologizing immediately upon learning. My daughter is not at Wilson anymore. And that was important. We don't want something we're not supposed to have. And that, the other thing is, I would say, I am committed to creating a system where when there is an issue, that we have options for families, including their neighborhood school, but options for families that work, because we have schools that are under-enrolled. We have schools that are really good options. And, we also have schools that are popular and that space becomes available that wasn't available at the beginning of the year. And I want parents to be able to be in a position where their child is thriving. And I've said that from day one. And I'm committed to that. Now, I have been other places where we have had lottery systems, where we had transfer processes, and we were able to create a structure where when parents felt the need, we were able to figure out how to help them get there, but also not create any issues. And I'm committed to doing that here. As it relates to my child, I don't believe that it is right for me to in any way put pressure on anyone directly or indirectly. And I was trying to avoid that as it relates to people report to me, because the system reports to me. What I recognize in trying to do the right thing and getting it wrong, that it creates a situation where some people lose faith. And the way you rebuild trust, the way you rekindle faith, is you spend time with people, you're honest, you answer questions in a straightforward way. When you have information, you share it. When there are faults in that information, you explain what the faults are and what you're trying to do to fix it. And then what I will close with, Harold, is this, that we have a lot of great things happening in DCPS. There were several things that were working before I came, and we have worked hard to make this a system where families know that there is a real direction. And this is their system, and we'll be accountable to them. We'll continue to do that work. And I don't think that now's the time to move away from that. I think now's the time to double down. Now's the time to recognize that you have a leader that when he messes up, and I don't mess up intentionally, trust me, I work hard to be perfect. I'm just not. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, that leader will own that and say he was wrong and apologize and ask for the time and the effort to repair any harm that he caused. And that's what I'm doing here today.
Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tracy calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Tracy. What's on your mind?
My name is Dr. Tracy Herndon, and Mr. Chancellor Wilson is very familiar. We've sat down for face-to-face meetings about my daughter, who attends Woodrow Wilson High School, who has had an extremely traumatic experiences and almost removed for very similar reasons that his child did in transitioning from Maryland into D.C. and being in the 97th to the 99th percentile there, us going to the premier school, Wilson, being discriminated against, retaliated against, and I had to actually file a lawsuit. She's in 11th grade now, Chancellor, and school's almost over. And DCPS has still done nothing. You've met with me, and all we've had is politics. So when that news came out, it appears as if there's some sort of collusion from the top now. I know I've written as much as a dissertation to you. We've had several conversations, and I believed you when you said, as a parent, I care about your child. Nothing has changed. So what would be different?
Go ahead, Chancellor, please.
Well, not speaking specifically about Ms. Dr. Herndon's child, I know Dr. Herndon very well. I can say that we have worked very hard. I mean, I have my team. They certainly have reached out to several members of my team, whether it be the head of social work, whether it be the head of our school culture team. I've met with the leaders over the school, made directions around training that staff should get, and they have a regular report that they send to me, and I will continue to do that. And the whole focus has been making sure that everyone understands what the needs are of the child, and that we are responsive to the parent as best we can be. And I think that given the privacy rights of the child, being more specific to that, being more specific than that would be inappropriate.
What do you want, Tracy? Tell us what you want.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm hearing what the chancellor is saying, and this has been consistent since the beginning. Now, after something has come out, I now am saying you have a team of people who say exactly what you're saying. My daughter still is bright as she was, but she has not grown. Not one of your staff have we received anything as a change from. The report card I got on Saturday has her failing, but maybe three times as high testing. And not one teacher has called me the entire school year. I've sent 25 letters, many team members and top officials. No one has done anything. It sounds good, but the delivery and the deliverables are not happening. But I hope that your child received what it was. Again, I'm a parent that participates. And I want to believe that maybe it was poor insight, maybe poor judgment, if it were just that isolated case. But I've experienced this same situation, and my daughter only has another year left, and nothing, not one teacher, not one thing that is supposed to be in terms of receivables on how she learns has changed, except more people, more leaders come to the school and meet with the school. What you said to the audience was that you want transparency. You want your staff to communicate back. I can't even get a teacher to call me.
Chancellor, Tracy, let me have the chancellor briefly respond to you before we take a really short break. Chancellor, I'll let you respond again, please.
Yeah, what I will say is it's very difficult to talk specifically about a child. I will say that we have lots of documentation in terms of regular feedback to the parent. That being the case, my team knows that it is an ongoing expectation to continue to work with this particular parent, her child, because the direction from me has been to make sure this child gets what she needs in order to be successful. And I've continued to focus and stay engaged. I get a regular report from my team, and I give them direction on how to stay engaged and try to figure things out. It is not a natural science. It is a social science, working with people and trying to figure out what they need, and we're committed to doing that.
Okay. Tracy, thank you so much for calling, and certainly please don't stop supporting your child, and hopefully there will be some resolution before she graduates. But thank you for participating in the conversation. I need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Diana calling from D.C. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Wilson. We'll be back in just a bit.
Hi, I'm Jay Schutte, an American.
SXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion with D.C. Public Schools Chancellor Antoine Wilson about school policy and a violation that that he admits that has happened, and he is apologizing for that. Is it enough? Well, we'll have to see. Let me go back to the phone lines. Diana, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. Good evening, Harold and
Hi.
Chancellor Wilson.
Good evening.
I'm speaking in reference to the violation, and I really do hope that the mayor gives the chancellor a chance. He has admitted to his mistake, and I truly feel that the council should back off and stop making quick judgment. This young lady, the chancellor, the family moved from the West Coast to the East Coast. The young lady's in a different environment. It's hard enough going from a local high school to another high school to make the transition. Any good parent would have done what he did. And we do not, he recognized where the problem was with his child, and he acted on it. We do not want to have another incident where we had a few weeks ago with that other young lady, okay, at the school. So he...
What incident are you talking about, Diane?
The young lady that took her life.
I see. Okay,
the
go
young
ahead.
Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at her age, it's very difficult. He saw there was a problem. He is a parent first, and he reacted to it.
Okay.
Okay, now he's already apologized, and I think we should move forward. He's doing a good job, and we should just, he's not only for black students, he's for all students.
Okay.
And so I just want to speak on that behalf because there's other things that needs to be worked on that the counselor could react to so quickly than to react to the chancellor. He's doing a good job. Give the man a chance.
Okay.
He's apologized. What more do they want? Let's move on tomorrow.
Diana, thank you so much for your phone call. Sheila, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. Sheila, what's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I'm a parent. We have a 12th grader in D.C. public schools, and I understand what went on with the chancellor. No, I do not feel as though he should be removed. But my second question is regarding the policies and procedures. Why isn't it going forward that this isn't worked into the contract, that whoever the chancellor is, they should have the authority or the right or the privilege to put their children at any school in DCPS?
Someone's negotiating your contract for you.
I look forward to following up and getting that support. I will say that it takes, when you're a chancellor, you sacrifice a lot. I happily do it. I love the job. I love D.C., and I have met some amazing people, crazy advocates for education here, and that's exactly what you want. But I do sacrifice a great deal and spend a lot of time not seeing my children, start on Mondays and sometimes come home on Fridays before we get to have a conversation. And from that standpoint, it has been difficult. I am resolved to be great at both as a parent, and then also great as a system leader, and I appreciate the caller.
Sheila, thank you so much. If a parent finds themselves in the same kind of situation that you found yourself in, Chancellor, and they try to move through the lottery system and have no resolution, what would you recommend that they do?
Well, the first thing I recommend that they do is what we did, and talk to their child and try to see if you can work it out in your school, and then talk to the school leadership and see if you can work it out. And if it does not happen, you cannot, that they would reach out and reach out to our team. And my team will hear from me that they should try to work with the family to find a school that works. And this is why this is so important. Because the young people have one shot at their K-12, pre-K-12 education. And if you should find a child not eating or not coming out of the room and experiencing anxiety, particularly one that had always been excited about going to school, then we need them to do something about that. And I expect us to be a system that does resonate with parents in that way, does follow up with students in that way, and tries to figure out options for them.
What, as much as you can share, what was the problem with Duke Ellington? What, certainly there are, as you mentioned earlier, there are hundreds of parents every year that are trying to get their children into Duke Ellington. Was this a personal situation? Was this an issue with a teacher? Was this the transition? How would you describe it?
Well, Harold, I answer that question, but make sure that I have to say this. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Duke Ellington is one of our top schools, okay? And they are in mourning right now because one of their founders, Peggy Cooper passed away,
exactly.
And she was tremendous to me and amazing person. And so I have nothing but respect for her and her family, want to send my condolences. I also want to say strongly that there is a new leader there, Sandy Logan, who I believe in. They opened up a new building. And so there was a lot going on there. And I believe in Duke Ellington, as I believe in our schools. We have great people. But sometimes what happens is when you have a child that's moving over 3,000 miles away and is well situated in the school, who is very excited about the new school, by the way, is sometimes there are issues with adjustments, and you're talking about a 14-year-old kid at the time.
Is this culture shock? I mean, was this just an extreme, would you describe it as an extreme culture shock?
I would say extreme culture shock. I will say trouble fitting in. I would say, although doing very well academically, just was not connecting with the school, and you know, I don't blame the school for that. I mean, you know, they care. There are people who care there greatly, and I knew that as the chancellor, and I have families who reach out to me trying to get into the school, and I encourage it because I know what's possible with Duke Ellington, and you know, I was there celebrating some amazing alumni who've gone on to do some tremendous things, and so. It is a school that I don't want in any way to receive negative attention as relates to my daughter not being successful there. It's not it's not fair to them, mm-hmm. but sometimes things don't work out for a particular child. And as a parent, it is very difficult to see that change happen so quickly. And she is our oldest child. And we have raised two nieces and nephews before. We've never experienced this. Mm-hmm. And it was very scary.
Are you concerned? Are you concerned about the seemingly groundswell coming from the council? Some 5 out of 13 are calling for your resignation. Are you concerned now about the politics becoming as much of a distraction as the issue itself?
Well, I understand the challenges that come with making a mistake and having people believe you that it was an honest mistake. Mm-hmm. I understand the challenges that come when you make a mistake and you fracture trust. And I understand people reaching out and expressing their anger and disappointment and leaders responding to that. What I would say is that the reason why I say my focus is on leading the system is one of the things that I've tried to do, and is to be a role model. I've tried real hard to be an example to the young people that I lead, and I always have said that failure is a great teacher, and I believe that young people should learn that. I believe that adults should learn that. I believe that we have to be a system when adults struggle that works hard to try to help them be successful. And as a chancellor, when you make mistakes, and I am human and I will make mistakes, that you own it and you try to build that trust with the people. And that's what my focus is. This is a tremendous city. They deserve a great school system, and I'm the leader to help them get that.
Chancellor Antoine Wilson, D.C. Public Schools, thank you so much for coming in. I really do appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be talking again as this and other issues move forward. So thank you so much for coming in, sir.
Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, February 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio.